and what He is, amen, and what He's imparting into us, amen, His life, amen, indestructible, uncreated, amen, His nature, all that He is. Amen. Are you coming to know God? Amen. Amen. Amen? Amen. Are you coming to see Him?
Amen.
Are you coming to gain Him?
Amen.
Well, I'm not sure about you, but as I was enjoying so much last night's message, wow, Christ is so rich to me. Christ is so rich to us.
Amen.
Oh, His love with which He so loved the world, the fallen men, the love that's uncondemning, the Father's uncondemning love, right? But the love that meets us, embraces us, and kisses us, right? The Son's seeking love, right? Going to find the one lost sheep, and the Spirit's somewhat nagging love. I really enjoy that. It's a little bothering within. Time to stop. You know, I've been there, my wife knows, scrolling through, oh, wasting so much time on whatever. There's a nudging. Time to stop. Right? Well, as we're enjoying, as we're coming to know, see, and gain our wonderful God, there's a sense that all men should know such a God. All men need such a love. All men need to know Christ as their life and enjoyment. All men need to be plugged into the vine, enjoying all the riches of Christ,
amen,
all that He is to us, right? We, in the previous session, we were singing this song, "Oh, let us rejoice in the Lord evermore."
Amen.
How can we rejoice? It's because we've been saved. It's because we've been plugged into the vine. It's because we're the branches. We can rejoice. Although all things around us be trying, we can rejoice.
Amen.
Although the darts of the tempter are flying, we can rejoice.
Amen.
Although sickness upon us is stealing, we can rejoice.
Amen.
But how about those that are not believers? How would they sing this hymn? They can't rejoice. All they have is the things around them that are trying them. The darts of the tempter are flying at them. There's sickness stealing at them. Death pervading their life. They can't do anything. They can't rejoice. They don't have the vine. They're not a branch. Floods of affliction like sea billows roar. It happens to all of us because we're fallen. We live in a fallen world. We have a fallen nature. But they have no escape. In this message, we come to bearing fruit through a normal living of the gospel. But I had this burden, you know, it really focuses on people. You know, I enjoyed Phil sharing with us. How do we flow out? It's mainly by speaking. But I began to consider, well, why don't I speak to others? You know, me personally, why don't I flow out to others so much? Even when it seems like it's the Lord's arrangement. Maybe it's someone that sat next to you. I'll give you my own example. Just before I came here, you know, I've been looking for a haircut place in Vancouver in the whole 2 years I've been there. And I still have not found my barber. It's really frustrating, actually. And so I decided, well, it's a little risky, but I'm going to try another new one before coming here. And I sat down and, you know, he happened to be Korean. And I asked him one question. Do you live around here? That's all I asked him. Do you know what he told me? He said, well, I used to live around here when I was married. He said, I'm divorced now. And the best days of my life was here, when I used to live here with my wife. My children would wake up every morning and say, Dad, you know, have a good day at work. And I would come home to a home-cooked meal made by my wife. He said, but now, he actually said this to me. He said, now, I'm just waiting to die. I'm just waiting to die. I'm just doing this, but really, I'm... Why would he tell me that? Isn't that an opportunity to flow something out? You know, but sometimes these things happen to us. Your friends around you, late at night, maybe you'd been, you know, hanging out with them, and then it's about time to go home. You happen to be walking on the same way, and they start opening to you. Do we have some feeling? Do we have some consideration that they're without hope, without God in the world? That's Ephesians, right? The godless, right? An age of godlessness. But they don't have the first part. They just have the age of godlessness. What is behind our fruit bearing? What is the life of fruit bearing? It's a person. Jesus' life is the living of the gospel. Wherever he went was the gospel. His being was the gospel. Whoever he spoke to, that was the gospel. Wherever he was, there was the gospel. He was the fruit-bearing one. We need the life of Jesus. And with his life comes his heart for man. And we need to open to the Lord, because naturally and in ourselves, I think we can all admit, we don't have such a heart for man, right? But the Lord does. And this morning, in the first portion, we want to see the lovely living of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be attracted and somewhat tested, but also just open that only the Lord's heart is such a heart for man. And so we need to have his heart, like we sang just now, duplicated in our heart. He needs to make home in our heart. When he makes home in our heart, his heart for man makes home in our heart. We will begin to care for and love all men. Right? For God so loved the world. What did he do? He ministered Christ. He gave Christ. When we love the world, when we love those around us with Christ's love, when we're filled with his feeling, and his heart for man is duplicated in us, we will just minister Christ. So let's read the Roman numeral 1 together. Fruit bearing is the normal living of the branches of the vine. And then, sisters. Brothers on B. There's good news. Who's a branch? Say amen.
Amen.
How about we all declare, I'm a branch in the vine.
I'm a branch in the vine.
So whose life is flowing through you? Yes, amen. Christ's life is flowing in us. Amen. This life with a certain kind of living, it's flooding our entire being. You know, a dog, it has a certain kind of life. And with that life comes a certain kind of living. It has a barking living, right? Especially chihuahuas for some reason. Anyway, my wife has really been desirous of getting a dog recently. So You don't have to tell them, you know, the dog is not born and then you teach the dog, you know, today your job is to bark. And today you will bark 50 times from 8 to 5. And then you're done. You can just, you know, take a break. Do whatever dogs do. No, it's a part of their living, right? Because they have the dog life, there's a certain kind of living that comes forth. Well, we are the branches. And we have a certain life with a certain kind of living. The living that branches have is the fruit-bearing living. Let's read Roman numeral 2. We need to take the Lord as our example to live the life of the gospel. So the Lord is our example. You know, and so in this portion, we'll come to two main portions of John. John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. And let me read through the outline here for you. The Lord Jesus simply lived the life of the gospel. Wherever he went, the gospel was his living. We all need to see. Oh, Lord, show us. Grant us a vision of what the proper, normal gospel is. It is that which the Lord Jesus carried out. Okay, so what was the gospel that the Lord carried out? What was the living that he carried out? Don't you want to know? The normal, proper gospel living. What is that? What's revealed in the Word? He spent time to gain one man and spent even more time to gain one woman. He reaped not in large numbers, but what? Let's say it all together. One by one. In John chapter 3, who can tell me what John chapter 3, which case is presented here? Right, John has 9 cases. Which case is presented in John chapter 3? Phil? Anyone? Nicodemus. Okay. So, who can tell me? Well, I'll just tell you. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Right? You know what a Pharisee is? He's not just a Jew, but the top Jew. Super Jew. It says in verse 1, a ruler of the Jews. Okay? This one came to him by night. By night. Benjamin, if a super Jew came to you by night, at night, you know, you're just about getting ready for bed, you're in your pajamas, knock, knock, you know, it's Nicodemus, Rabbi, is that the right person to speak to? A top religious Jew who tells other Jews how they should be religious. Is that the right person to speak to? And it's at night. Is that the right time? Is that the right time? How inconvenient. I don't know what you would do. If it was me, I would say, I'm not home. I wouldn't even, you know, please go away. I'm not interested. But the Lord, that wasn't what he did. He spent a long time at night with one person. Did the Lord plan it? What, did he say, Nicodemus, come over at night for the Bible study. I'm going to preach the gospel to you. Come prepared. Bring your Bible. You know, no. Nicodemus just showed up. Was it the right person? Yes, it was the right person. Amen. Was it the right time? Yes, it was the right time. Amen?
Amen.
Look at the pattern of our Lord. Okay. He was seeking knowledge. He was moral. He was ethical. Oh, have you ever tried preaching the gospel to a moral, ethical person? It's really difficult. I know you Christians, I do the same thing you do. I'm just trying to be a good person, right? Make the world a better place. Very difficult to preach to. Now, the Lord was there with this one man late at night, spending, investing his time. But what did he speak? What did he speak? He talked about being regenerated. He said, Nicodemus, you need a new life. You need the uncreated, indestructible life of God. Wow. He focused and was interested in speaking about life, not about miracles, not about power. In John chapter 2, just before that, many, many people believed into the Lord. But it says, because of the signs which he did. And then what does the Lord say? But he could not entrust himself to them. John chapter 3 starts with, but Nicodemus. This means this is a turn. He couldn't entrust himself to the large amount of people that believed into him because of signs, but he could entrust himself to one old Pharisee late at night speaking about life. Life. Nicodemus, no matter how ethical, moral, religious, knowledgeable you are, you need a divine birth. You need to be reborn. You need a new life. You need to be born of the Spirit. Wow. The second case, the woman at the well. Okay. I want us to be impressed here. The Lord didn't send the disciples before him and say, go campaigning and say, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is coming. And prepare everyone, and we're going to meet at the well at about the sixth hour. Everyone needs to be there. No. It just says he went there. It says he needed to pass through Samaria. Listen to this. Verse 6, John chapter 4, verse 6. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from the journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. He was tired. I think we can all relate. I think we can all relate right now. He was wearied, so he sat at the well. Maybe you just came out of an excruciatingly long exam, and you're just, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just going to, can't wait to go home and watch that, binge watch that Korean drama that I've been putting off, and people have been calling me and saying, you need to watch this, but I just can't yet. And someone just stops you and just, hey, how is that exam for you? I thought that last question was, you know, really tricky. And what would you do? You just be like, oh, sorry, I got to go. Like, yeah. You know. But that's not the Lord's heart. He realized this woman was suffering. Right? Don't we find out later how much suffering she's going through? Five husbands, right? But she doesn't have a husband now. And the one with her is not even her husband. She's longing for something. All the ones around us are longing for God. He's the desire of the nations, right? And the Lord, look at how he speaks. Again, it's not miraculous. It's not powerful. It's not eloquent. How does he start off his gospel message? Give me a drink. Can I have a drink? Is that so? Would Billy Graham do that? Start off his gospel message that way? I'm not discounting what our brother has done in his ministry. There is the aspect of thousands and thousands, right, being saved. Without a doubt, that's of the Lord. But if we look at the cases and the pattern of our Lord, in the 9 cases of life meeting every man's need, 7 of the 9 are in this way, one-on-one. Sometimes it was in the midst of the crowd, but it was still one-on-one. He cared for persons. Right? He spoke normally to this woman with abundance of life. So I hope that we can see not even just see, but open to the Lord. Lord, live this kind of life through me. Give me this kind of heart for people. Wherever I go, wherever I am, any moment is the right time. Any person would be the right person. And any place would be the right place. We should take the Lord Jesus, this is C, as our example to be interested in imparting life and in helping others to be reborn and drink the living water. Amen. Let's read the next part all together. This is a normal daily preaching according to life. And then all together on D. Wherever we are, the gospel is with us because it is our life. Without the living of the gospel, the church life is empty. We must all learn the example of the Lord Jesus. And then all together on E as well. We need to learn the example of the Lord Jesus in preaching the gospel in a spontaneous way. We should not say that this is not the right place, the right time, or the right person for the gospel. Instead, what should we say? All together, strong spirit. Amen.
Every time is the right time.
Amen.
And every person is the right person.
Amen. So I'll share just one more testimony. A few brothers and I, we were in New York, and we were not there for the prayer meeting. We were not there for, we were there to sightsee. And then at the end of the day, this high schooler comes up to us in the midst of thousands and thousands of people. He comes to me and says, "Can I borrow your phone?" And I'm like, "I grew up in the Northeast, man. Like, ain't no way I'm giving you my phone. Like, you're going to run as soon as I give it to you." I didn't say that to him. Inside, I said it. He started telling me this story. "Oh, I got lost from my teacher and, separated from my group. I'm not from here. And here's her phone number." I punched it in. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to put it on speakerphone. I'll punch it in for you." Guess what? Didn't connect. So I said, you can go now, But he just kept going. And one of the brothers with me, he just said, he's much more of the Lord's heart was in his heart. He said, "Let's try Skype. Maybe it's an international thing." Guess what? He was telling the truth. Why would this high schooler, in the midst of thousands of people in New York City, he could ask us? We thought about that. So on the way back, the teacher said, "Let's meet at the lobby of the Empire State Building." We're walking him. We all had the sense, this is the Lord's arrangement. This one needs to be saved. So we spoke the gospel. We got to the lobby and we finished, and we said, "Well, what's your response?" You know what his response was? He said, "How can I thank him? How can I thank him for everything he's done for me?" I have never heard that kind of response. I was so caught off guard. I said, "You can thank him by praying to receive him into your heart. That would make him the happiest. That's the way to thank him." The other brother prayed with him, and his face just started to glow. He said, "Something came into me." He told me that. "Something came into my heart." And then as soon as that happened, his teacher came and grabbed his hand, didn't even talk to us, and he was gone just like that. We realized that the reason we were there, even though it seemed like not the right person, not the right time, and not the right place, he was the right person. It was exactly the right time. And it was exactly the right place. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so what's the right place?
Everywhere.
But what's the right time? Well, who's the right person?
Every person.
Every person. Amen. Okay, so we're coming to Roman numeral 3. Let's all read Roman numeral 3 together with the release of our spirit.
We should not expect a great revival, but bear fruit in a normal way.
Why can we bear fruit? We're branches. Remember what Phil shared yesterday? We have a standing. We have a standing that we're a branch. Because you are a branch, you can bear fruit. So actually, remember, every time is the right time, every place is the right place, every person is the right person, but actually, not everyone is the right one to speak the gospel. Actually, that is, in this age, reserved for branches.
Amen.
But if you're a branch, then you're the right person to speak the gospel.
Amen.
You don't have to wait for someone else to do it. You don't have to depend on someone who's more gifted than you are or who can speak better than you are. If you're a branch, you can speak the gospel. Okay, so then we come to this point. We're going to have a few testimonies, but I just wanted to mention that, you know, everything in this line of messages is actually very balanced. If you go back through this line, I think you'll appreciate there's a wonderful balance that we have here. If you have some desire just to be stirred up to preach the gospel, well, we had a message about how the gospel is not a work that we do, but it's the outflow of our living and our enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
It's the outflow of the enjoyment of the riches of the vine.
Amen.
Well, maybe you hear that and you think, wonderful, that means I don't have to do anything. No. So today what we're coming to is a normal living. Even though we're branches in the vine, we still have some responsibility to cooperate with the life that's inside of us. But I hope what would happen in the next 20 minutes is all of us would be impressed that to cooperate with the life inside of us actually is not that hard. It's not that difficult. And each one of us has the inborn capability to do it because we've received the divine life.
Amen.
Okay, so if you look at point A, it says, if Christians will have a normal living of the gospel, it will be sufficient for each one to bring only one person to the Lord each year. Well, it'll be sufficient for each one to bring one person to the Lord each year if we all have a normal living of the gospel. But if we don't have a normal living of the gospel, then we may need to depend on some large events, gifted speakers, maybe try some gimmicks. Well, there is a place for having large gospel meetings, but this should be along with our normal, daily, regular living of the gospel.
Amen.
What David shared is that this is the life that our Lord Jesus lived, because he was a God-man, filled with God, filled with the love of God.
Amen.
So when he was living a normal human life on the earth, his life was expressing the love of God.
Amen.
He couldn't just see someone and not express God's love to them. He just flowed out the gospel wherever he was.
Amen.
Well, Jesus did this, but we have that life in us right now.
Amen.
This is the life that you and I have. So this is something that we can do as well. And I hope we would be able to take away any thought that the gospel is something for someone else, someone who's more capable. So to help us appreciate that, we're going to practice right now, okay? So what we're going to do is turn to the person next to you, talk to the person next to you, and all I want you to do is share with that person one thing that you've learned or appreciated or enjoyed about God in this college training, but share it to them in a way that as if they haven't been here at this training, okay? So right now, just do that. Okay, this is great. I can see you all have a lot to say. So, all right, raise your hand if you said something to the person next to you. Everyone, raise your hand if you said something. Okay, you're all qualified to preach the gospel. If you raise your hand, you're a gospel preacher. Wonderful. Wow, it sounds like you didn't realize that, but it's true. Okay, the next thing we're going to do is read point B altogether. Point B, the Lord's
daily living was his gospel preaching, because he was living in this way, God sent the right people to him and he brought people to God.
Okay, for this point, we have a testimony from our sister Nina. She's going to share with us. So Nina, if you can come up. She's going to share a very encouraging experience.
Amen. My name is Nina. I am from Surrey, Canada. And 4 years ago, I had preached the gospel to my friend, and it wasn't in a place where I wanted to preach the gospel. And it wasn't also the right time, I think, to preach the gospel. But in this situation, my friend had lost her father. And we were just at a place where my friends were like, no, like, just let her be. Let's just do something else. Like, let her forget about it. And I just said, no. I couldn't ignore that feeling within me that had said, you know, she needs the Lord, right? She needs the Lord to save her. And so I shared to her around that time, I had said, did you know, like, there's someone who can heal you and that there's someone who can comfort you? And so I had said that to her, and that was it that night. And then 3 years later, we still stayed in contact. But around that time, my relationship wasn't really strong with the Lord. And so I felt like during the next 3 years, the Lord was working on me in strengthening my relationship with him. And so over time, I started to grow more in the Lord, and I started to blend with the saints. And then she just came to me 6 months ago, and she became really open. And she just had asked me, Nina, I really want to come to a meeting because I know you're serious about the Lord. And I had said, okay. And around that time, I'm thinking, she must be kidding, right? Because I'm just so different from my friends. And I'm like, okay, Lord. I went to my sister, actually, and I'm like, okay, I need to pray. I need to give this to the Lord because I don't want my hand on this. And all I remember is I told my sister, and so we prayed. And then I said to her, let me know when you're free, and I will bring you. And so she had said that her other friend was going to bring her to a church meeting. So I'm like, okay, just let me know how that goes. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, you always are welcome to come to mine. And so then she told me one night, oh, it fell through, so do you mind if I come to yours? And that Friday was actually a gospel meeting. And so I said to her, if you're free, there's a special time on Friday. And if you'd like to come with me, we can go together. And so she came with me to the gospel meeting, and she received the Lord that night.
Amen.
And right now she is still going on with the Lord. Yeah. And I feel like that was just all the Lord.
Yeah.
A lot of it had to do with, I think, me being open to allowing this life to just flow. Because
yeah.
As I got built up with the saints, the life would just flow.
Amen.
It's nothing of our doing.
Right.
The time is never ideal. The person you expect is never the person you want to preach the gospel to. But you just let the life flow.
Amen.
Can you share, Nina, can you share with us also what it was that made you feel like you needed to speak to her in the first place?
Well, I felt like the Lord was bothering me inside. Like I looked at her and I just knew there was just nothing, there was nothing I could do in that situation to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I knew the only thing that could help her and save her was just his life.
Yeah.
And I knew the situation was just dead, like she lost her dad. And I felt like, okay, Lord, what would I do if this had happened to me? And I felt like I would turn to the Lord. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just had shared to her that, you know, this can be your comfort. Because at that time, I just felt like that's all I could do. Like, there's nothing else I could do. Because I'm a very, like, capable person. Like, I want to always help people. But then I knew the Lord's like, no, you just need to speak me.
Amen.
And so, I don't know, we just need to be faithful. When the Lord gives you that feeling to just speak him, you just follow through.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So I hope you appreciated, like I did, a point that I got from this testimony is that we could consider when we talk to people and we're with people, what would we do in their situation? And I appreciated that answer. Well, I would turn to the Lord. But then you realize this person doesn't know how to. They don't know the Lord. So what a normal and wonderful thing to just share the Lord with him. I really enjoyed that. So this can be our daily living. And the point here also says God sent the right people to him. So I think in that testimony as well, you have this point. God arranged it.
Yeah.
God arranged the right time and the right place.
Amen.
Okay, C says, if we would all live in this way, God will send his chosen ones to us. Then every year we will reap fruit. Last year at this college training, Peter shared with us his experience of having the prayer to the Lord that he wanted to bear fruit every year while he was in college. And the Lord honored that prayer. Well, we can have this feeling, if we have some feeling about this, we can just open this to the Lord. Lord, I want to bear fruit every year.
Amen.
I don't know how. I don't know the best way to do it. I don't know if I'm capable, but Lord, I want to.
Amen.
We can just open to the Lord. Then D says, if we have the proper living, day by day and one by one, people will be brought to the Lord and into the church life.
Amen.
This is the proper preaching of the gospel.
Amen.
And you can see this in Acts 2. You know how often people were being added to the church? It was every day. Actually, that should be the normal situation. If in our place there's not increase for, you know, more people aren't brought to the Lord, that means something isn't normal. We should pray about it. We should ask others. We should fellowship. Why aren't people being brought to the Lord? On the other hand, we shouldn't expect something large and something, a huge explosion of people either. If you're in a place where it's just you, if by the next college training, you're able to speak the gospel to one person and they're saved, wonderful.
Amen.
That's wonderful. So we don't have to expect something large, something overwhelming, but this should be our normal living. Okay, by living this way and being such persons, we will constantly enjoy the Lord's presence, supply, and all the riches of the life of Christ.
Amen.
Okay, so just a brief testimony about this. I have flown a lot in the last year, and on one of my trips, I was in an airport, and I was really tired. I had to get up really early to go to the airport. I had stayed up really late, and I just had enough time to grab lunch. So I bought some food, and I was sitting down waiting for my flight. And I had, you know, it was really crowded, so I had to sit at this kind of communal table. And there's a really large guy sitting across from me, and he was on the phone, and he was having a really loud conversation, like right into me. And I had opened to the Lord before I went on this trip because I've been really impressed by the pattern of some brothers that have gone before me to say, Lord, I love you and I love the people on this plane, or I love the people in this place. And so I had opened to the Lord about this, but then I kind of thought, well, I guess this isn't the right time. And so now I can just relax. So I pull out my phone and I started to read something, and I was, you know, eating my food. And then the guy finished his conversation and then,
sure enough, he made this comment, and I realized, oh, he just started a conversation with me. Just something very small. But so I was reading, and I remember thinking, okay, I have a choice right now. I could just keep reading and pretend like I didn't hear what he said. I could do that. And if I answer, he's probably going to want to talk to me about all kinds of things. I'm really tired. But I just realized, okay, here's an opportunity. And the normal thing for us to do as Christians is to speak to people and to at least give an opportunity for the Lord to flow out. If you don't talk to them, there's no opportunity. So I answered him, and we started talking. Anyway, the more we talked, I just thought, man, this guy is just, doesn't seem like he's open to the gospel at all. The more we talked, he was kind of like complaining about the youth today and different things. And anyway, then all of a sudden, right at the end, he just suddenly mentioned, yeah, that's why I quit my job and I hiked the Appalachian Trail for a couple months last year. And I realized, oh, okay, this is the right person. So I asked him, well, what were you thinking about out on the trail? You know, and so right away he just started telling me about some things in his life and he's not happy with. And I realized pretty quickly, this is the right person. I thought it was the wrong person at the wrong time. Actually, he was the right person at the right time. And I was the right person, even though I didn't think I was. So all I had the time to do before our conversation was over was I got to tell him something. His name was Wynn. And I told him, Wynn, you're a vessel. And you're a vessel made to contain God. And I have something about that. And I had a copy of The Mystery of Human Life, so I gave that to him. And I told him, you can read this. It's all about it. And I wasn't sure what he was going to say, but he said, he was very thankful. He said, thank you. And so then I didn't have any other time, but so I left. And I got on my plane, and as I was getting on my plane, I just felt so joyful. I mean, this is just, it's just normal. It's just normal to flow out to people something about the Lord. So, if we will live this way, we will enjoy the Lord's presence. Amen. If you haven't been enjoying the Lord's presence, the Lord's supply, and all his riches, try speaking to someone. That will help you enjoy the Lord very much. Amen. Okay, F says, we will have much to minister to the saints and much with which to function. This will enrich and uplift our meetings. It will make us living and joyful. Okay, and then for this next point, we have a group of sisters from Calgary. If you could come up right now for one more testimony. Okay, and this, while they're coming up, let's read point G all together.
My name's Iwana, and I'm going to be a fourth year at the University of Calgary. And I just wanted to testify that it is very easy to bear fruit. There really is no struggling or striving. So I've been praying every year of college to have one fruit, because the principle was you bear one fruit per year. But going into my third year, so far there wasn't really any remaining fruit. So I asked the Lord, where are they? I'm already going to my third year, and I don't have a fruit for every year. So as I was going to the Lord, I think my enjoyment of him became more consistent. My enjoyment was no longer meeting-centered. I didn't focus on, like, it wasn't like I went to the meeting to be filled, but I was already filled, so when I went to the meeting, I was ready. So my enjoyment of the Lord was very, very consistent. I was getting to know my God. So as I was getting to know him, he started bringing new ones to our home meeting. And among, there were quite a few that came, and none of them were from my campus. They were actually from another campus that my mom teaches at. So three of them are Ashley, Laura, and Gloria. So they came to our home meeting, and it was so sweet. I can't even describe it, because it was just so normal. It never felt like because when you think like, oh, I have to take care of three people, you get really overwhelmed. But it never once felt like that, because once I was in the home meeting, so there were tons of moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas to help take care of them with me. And, you know, in the home meeting, we were very flexible in the way we took care of them. We would just sing with them and just share a little bit here and there, but nothing too much. Then later, if we felt like we would have a portion prepared, and if we felt, oh, this is too much, maybe now is not the right time, we were willing, okay, just let it go. Let's just sing more. Let's just keep opening. And then humanly, I spent a lot of time with them. One of the main things we did was eat together. Like, actually, the reason why they came to the home meeting was because my mom invited them over for butter chicken. So that's what brought them there. Mm. So we immediately connected about food. So we started going to like different places to eat. We went with like some of the other saints in our home meeting. And so food was a really, really big part of this. And also, I spent a lot of time studying with them. Actually, during finals, I slept in their dorm, so I was there like every single night. It was really stressful, so I really needed to be around others. And it was so sweet that I could be with them. So I would just leave just to write my final and then come back and keep studying with them. So everything was just so normal. And the more I got to know them humanly, the less awkward it felt to share with them my enjoyment of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like, okay, now I'm going to shepherd them and I'm going to minister Christ. There was nothing like that. It wasn't like I made up my mind to do it. But it was like as I was getting to know them and where they were personally with the Lord and in their education, stuff just came. Because I had enjoyed the Lord the morning, so it was so easy to overflow. So now I think Ashley and Laura would like to share their testimony.
Mm-hmm. So on like the third day of the class, our professor invited us to eat butter chicken in their house. And I was like, oh, Gloria, I told Gloria that our teacher invited us to eat butter chicken in their house. This is weird. She's our professor. So I was like, I need someone to go with me. So then we went, and then I was like, oh, why do they keep like, by the time that we have to pray, why would they keep saying amen? Mm. I'm like, this is so weird because I was Catholic, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Why do they keep saying amen? So then the brother told me that amen is like saying yes, and like when the brothers and sisters are praising the Lord, we just recognize it. And then
amen.
I really enjoy coming there, and eventually, it led me to receive the Lord and be baptized. And because of the Bible and home meetings, like what Brother David said, I'm not really addicted to K-dramas anymore.
Shout about calling on the Lord. Say something about calling on the Lord.
Oh, yeah. And I really enjoyed calling like the Lord. And then just coming to the home meetings, I felt home because I live 9 hours away from home. And they're very sweet. They're very welcoming. They're not pressuring you on anything. Yeah.
Amen. Hello. I have a kind of different experience than Ashley just because I grew up as part of a Protestant denomination. So I knew my Lord. I thought I knew my Lord. And I tried to do my best for him, you know, and I followed him from Vancouver Island to Calgary to this university I'd never visited, and like I knew no one there, and I just followed him there because I knew that I needed to follow him somewhere, because in my life it was like rerun after rerun, not really like knowing how to like follow him the right way. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just gonna go to Calgary. I don't know why, but you want me to go there, so I'm gonna go. So I left, and then I was like, I was so scared. I was terrified. And something that was really special was that I met Gloria and Ashley really right on. And we connected so quickly. And because of that connection, they also invited me to go to the home meeting the next week. So they were like, okay, like it's fun. We get to sing. And I was like, okay, like singing hymns, that sounds good. Like I'll go, you know. I didn't expect anything. But then I found like so much life there and so many people overflowing with the Lord. And I never knew so many things. I learned about the human spirit and I learned about calling on the Lord. And it's so amazing to touch the Lord in that way. I never knew. And so now that I have, I just like want to overflow to others now. And it's such an amazing experience. So,
amen.
Yeah. So yeah, basically something that I'd like to encourage you to do is just live out the gospel. Amen. You know, live out your normal Christian life. You don't have to try to, like, force people, like, preaching to them in words even, but just by your living, by the way you act to others. And, yeah, you don't even have to, like, be at a home meeting. Like she said, we studied together, and we ate together, and we just did, like, normal things. And it wasn't like she had to, like, okay, I'm going to talk about the Lord, dispense into you. It was just normal, right? Just live your life. If you're overflowing with the Lord, then just let it out to others.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sisters. Isn't that encouraging?
Amen.
Amen. So now, here's a group that now is burden for others. And they can flow out what they're enjoying to others. Okay. This is the normal living of the church life. It's normal for us all to speak. It's normal for us all to flow out. So to conclude, I would leave you with three words, three ways that you can cooperate with the life of Christ within you to live a normal fruit-bearing life. The first one is notice people. Don't just look over all the people that God has placed you around. Notice them. Notice that they are vessels made in the image of God.
Amen.
And the second one is pray for them. Once you notice people, once God opens up your eyes to see their need, pray for them. And third, speak to them. This doesn't have to be in a formal way. Just speak what you've enjoyed. Speak out of your fresh enjoyment of Christ. And the Lord will honor our cooperation with him.